Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Pleased to be joined in studio this weekend by Mark Campbell. He is the superintendent with the Calaveras Unified School District. We're talking about a variety of different topics. Calaveras Unified School District has 10 schools, the largest school district in Calaveras County. Superintendent Campbell, next thing I want to ask you about is test scores. But first off, you know, how has testing when it comes to local students kind of changed over recent years?
Yeah, tremendously. I would say the content of the test is much more aligned to the curriculum now, so there's not a huge gap in terms of what we're teaching as opposed to what we're testing. The actual testing itself has changed significantly just in terms of the reliance on technology. It's all done on the computers now. So no more bubble ins, no more bubble art, if you will. But for students, especially our elementary students, it's extremely challenging because now that they have to demonstrated a greater degree of proficiency in keyboarding. They have to know, you know, how to click and drag and do all these things with technology that if they don't have those skills, but they still may be able to write, they still may be able to read. If they can't accurately or adequately facilitate the technology, that does impact in terms of what their ability to demonstrate what they learn and what they know.
So no more number two pencils like the old days.
Correct.
So when does standardized testing start for students? What grade level?
Third grade.
Third grade?
Yeah, third through eighth grade and then 11th grade.
Okay. So how have students in Calaveras County been doing in a general sense when it comes to testing?
Yeah, we definitely could be doing better, to be quite honest. We're a little bit below the state average. I do know that when you measure third graders last year to fourth graders this year, you're measuring the same students, apples to apples. We are seeing growth. It's incremental growth. It's slow growth. Testing is extremely important. It's not the only measure of assessment. And so we know that a student on a particular day may not have a good test day. They may have those technology gaps or blocks. They may tire after three hours of testing in the morning. So there are a lot of factors. So we use that data and we align it with the data that we have with our local assessments and continue to try to get students to a higher skill level so they can improve in both the standardized testing at the state level, but also our local assessment.
As testing has changed, have teachers had to re-educate themselves as well on curriculum and so forth?
Absolutely. Both curriculum, but also the technology. And we are doing practice tests. And again, the beauty of this is we're not just testing for the sake of state testing. The testing is aligned to curriculum, which is aligned to what the teachers are teaching. So it all really comes together. And so it doesn't feel like a drop-in or something, fake. So our teachers have had to adjust the curriculum, instruct the rigor of their teaching, and we have a tremendous amount of professional development and a tremendously dedicated teaching staff that continues to aspire and strive to get better. It really has upped the game for all of us to make sure that we're upping our game for students.
Attracting teachers to Calaveras County, is that a challenging thing or an easy thing to do?
Extremely challenging, given where we are geographically, given what we're dealing with budgetarily. We're not out looking for a tremendous amount of teachers every year because we're not really adding staff, but when we do have to go out, it's hard because we can't compete with the districts in the Valley. We can't compete with some of the districts that are funded at a higher level locally than we are. And so we face tremendous challenges. We have a lot to offer in terms of culture, climate, support, professional development, phenomenal kids in a phenomenal collaborative community, but that only goes so far when people really are looking to make a living to sustain their family, and we just can't compete with many districts.
Your new teachers that come to the district, in a general sense, do you see a lot of people who are Calaveras natives who come back home, or are they people coming from outside the area?
Yeah, proportionately, we see a lot of people coming back. And when I talk about the economy really being down in our county, we're one of the primary employers. We have over 300 employees. And so that part is attractive for young families or people coming up looking to get a start. We're looking at an ag teacher and a music teacher and a math teacher who just came back coming in this year who are graduates of Calaveras High School. And so much like myself coming in and many other teachers that we have now, coming back to give back to the district is what we're seeing.
Next thing I want to ask you about is infrastructure projects. Having 10 schools in the district, have you had many infrastructure projects recently?
Not recently. I mean, not since we passed a bond in 2006. We just completed the Performing Arts Center four years ago. That was really the capstone project on that. We're not growing as a district, so therefore we're not looking to build, and we don't have the funding necessary to build out if we did need to. We are looking at getting a bond on the ballot in 2020. We're in the early stages of exploring that. That would be almost primarily for maintenance of our current facilities. Funding from the state is inadequate in order for us to keep up with our aging infrastructure. And so outside of technology, which we've been able to stay on top of, in terms of our facilities, that's a tremendous area of focus that we really need help on. And we will be reaching out to our community to see if, in fact, there is a feel or a flavor for us going out for a bond.
So to do a lot of maintenance at the schools, as you mentioned, is there any chance there could be some new facilities as well, or additional classrooms, that type of thing?
If we are able to pass the bond, quite honestly, BJ, we're looking at building a new gym at Toyon Middle School, because we are bringing sixth graders from at least two of our largest elementary schools onto the campus at Toyon Middle School next year. The other four elementary schools will be having that discussion as to whether we bring those students to Toyon or not. We need a new gym there. Outside of the new gym, honestly, everything else would be just to replace aging infrastructure and address our facility needs.
You know, over recent years, as you mentioned, enrollment has declined. Have you had to combine different schools and that type of thing?
Not to the extent that we will be talking about in the near future. And we're moving our alternative ed school, Goldstreich High School, onto the campus at Calaveras High School. That's part of a consolidation that's budget-driven. Fewer facilities, fewer staff for us to navigate. So absorbing them into Calaveras High School. We have a small elementary school, Railroad Flat Elementary, 44 students. There's always conversation about, you know, is that a viable number to keep a school open? But we also value the community and what the school means to the community. So, but we'll be grappling with that in terms of small school reconfiguration. Other than that, and moving sixth graders from the large elementary schools to Toyon, there's no other conversations about reconfiguration.
Sounds like challenging discussions, decisions for school leaders like yourself and the Board of Trustees.
Yep.
You know, next thing I want to ask you about is just, you know, general goals and priorities, you know, looking ahead over the coming years. What would you say are some of your goals?
I mean, the bond would be one, obviously, mm-hmm. Because we really have to address our facility issues. I think with the cuts that we've made and the cuts that we look to make, really making sure that we protect the quality programs that we currently offer for kids. We need our kids prepared for the real world and when they graduate. And that's a TK to 12 effort. So it's really maximizing what we do and the people that we have and the resources that we have to make sure that we continue to offer a variety of programs for students. And again, our staff and our administration have been tremendously creative and motivated to continue to do that.
Changing the topic a little bit, how closely do you work with law enforcement when it comes to making sure that the campus and students are safe?
Yeah, we have a tremendous partnership with all of our first responders. Our Sheriff's Department and CHP working hand in hand in terms of looking at our safety plans, making sure that they're aligned and that we're all articulating. We've met many times throughout the year and in years past just to make sure that when we do our drills at school sites, that they're present as much as they possibly can be, that we're all on the same page in terms of what we're doing moving forward. Obviously, of late, you know, active shooter drills have been a priority for us. Lockdown drills have been a priority for us. And law enforcement has worked hand in hand with us. So I'm tremendously pleased by specifically the Sheriff's Department, who are very active and very interested.
With things like social media, how does that create a challenges for local schools?
Yeah, phenomenal. That's a phenomenal challenge. Again, nothing against social media, because in the hands of those who want to do good with it, it's a phenomenal tool. In the hands of those who want to do evil or create harm and disruption, it's tremendously challenging for us. The vast majority of our discipline issues on campus, in terms of bullying or harassment, or even resulting as far as physical violence, seem to stem from social media, get fueled by social media. And for us and for law enforcement, it's really hard to keep a handle on that, hard to effectively navigate that, but it's an ongoing area of focus in terms of educating our students and our staff about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and our parents also, who often don't know what their students are doing, or who do know and don't see necessarily that that's an issue, or how the school should be involved in things that are happening off campus between students on social media. It's a tremendously challenging area.
At the high school level, do you see most students carrying around a cell phone these days?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the vast majority at break and lunch. And again, that's a sad, you know, I'll sound like an old man, get off my lawn type of a mentality, but the lack of face-to-face, you know, engagement, the amount of texting and social media that's happening as opposed to just people talking to people and working things out, you know, face-to-face, that's a huge challenge. And that would be a huge shift, you know, from years gone by. I think also trying to get students to use those social media tools and the handheld devices for educational purposes, and that has actually increased communication and collaboration between students and staff, again, when properly channeled and properly used.
And making sure these tools are used for good things.
Absolutely.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Mark Campbell, who is the superintendent of the Calaveras Unified School District, on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Next week on Motherlode Views, we'll have a conversation about Somerville Union High School District, joined in studio by the superintendent, Michael Merrill. He recently just finished his first year as superintendent at Somerville. We'll hear everything that's going on with that district next week on Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment with Mark Campbell, superintendent of Calaveras Unified School District, is coming up in just a minute.